Every human person, that means all of you, every one of you in the pew, has a mission, right? You matter because of your own dignity, but also because you have a mission. The moment of conception, when every human life begins, God's already present, infusing a completely unique, everlasting soul into that new human being, and with it, a mission. The Catechism says that human life is sacred because from its beginning it involves the creative action of God and remains forever a special relationship with the Creator, who is its sole end. So every human life is sacred, we know it, and from the very beginning we know it, and it's going to exist forever. And therefore, every child is still in the mother's womb, like we saw in the Gospel, are known and loved by God, and He has a mission for their soul from the very beginning. A child's never a problem. A child is a solution of love to the threat of our selfishness, and a solution in their mission for the needs of the world. Good news is, every one of you has a mission. Bad news is, you have to figure it out, right? Not bad, but still a challenge, right? That's what today's gospel is all about. The Blessed Virgin Mary has just been visited by the Archangel Gabriel, and through the Holy Spirit, she conceived Jesus in her womb. She discovers her mission. You shall conceive. And this is, oh, it's my mission. A few months earlier, Elizabeth, her older relative, had also conceived a child, St. John the Baptist. She got her mission, and so did John. Already from the very beginning, both John and Jesus are fulfilling their missions, bringing joy to their parents, fulfilling their God-given purpose. So each one of us has an amazing and important mission. Every person has that calling, no exceptions. We're all key players in God's plan for the world. So I want to talk about just briefly the four kind of possible missions, or at least the big ones, states in life, as it's often called. And the first thing is that your mission involves a state of life, a fundamental kind of vocation. It's like a platform, a base of your life that defines who you are and your mission in the world. And from that, you do all the other things that you do. Four of them are basic. First is marriage, which one man, one woman freely choose to give themselves to each other in a lifelong exclusive commitment of matrimony, right? It's a sacrament. We know it, a sign, a conduit of God's grace for the couple, for the souls they touch, right? Most immediately, their children that God gives them, but then their broader family, the community, everyone that they touch. So for spouses, and I know I'm speaking to some of you, right? Spouses, the primary task of life is helping each other and your children achieve lasting happiness in this life and forever. We often say, get your spouse to heaven, right? Lasting happiness. Your mission is to make your relationship with each other and with God a brighter reflection of God's love and goodness, to make your family a domestic church, a place where God reigns and from there extends, right? Second state of life, this is all about me, priesthood, and some of you, if God's calling you. This too is a sacrament, a conduit, an instrument of God's grace, another possible vocation. A man called by God to the priesthood is called to be a living image among God's people of Christ the Good Shepherd. He feeds God's people with true doctrine, strengthens and heals them with the sacrament, protects them from evil through his prayers, guidance, and example. He's called, as a priest, to be a true father who worries more about the protection, good, and the spiritual health of his children more than his own, right? Parents and young men, you should be open to this calling. Ask God if it's your path for happiness. So many times I even remember myself asking, what's going to make me happy? That might be the wrong question. The first question is, God, what do you want from me? That's going to make me happy. It's likely, at least some of you, God is calling to that vocation of the priesthood. It seems rare to say, oh no, I'd be the major exception. No, God is still calling. What might be rare is our listening, right? Third state, religious life, consecrated life. This is a state, you know, monks, nuns, religious brothers and sisters, consecrated lay people. This is, again, another state of total dedication, just like marriage, just like the priesthood. But focus especially dedication to God. It follows a call to be in the midst of this world, a sign of the world to come, right? Living in a community and vividly and radically embodying the Christian virtues like detachment, chastity, obedience, charity, service, right? And then the fourth state, the single state. In a mysterious way, God does call some men and women to permanently remain single, so that they are free to serve with their talents others, their neighbors, their families, and be like leaven inside the dough of the world. It's a call of joy, fullness, and fulfillment, even if also a sacrifice. So those are the four possible callings, vocations. Secondly is, what I said was the challenge, figuring it out, finding out yours. If some of you are married, you've already figured it out, right? No second chances here, right? You've already figured it out. It's like, well, maybe I didn't think about this the first time. Maybe I should. No, you figured it out. For some of us, it's easy because we're already living our vocations. We know it. But it's good to be reminded, no? And it's good to be reminded for our brothers and sisters who are still discerning and listening. So how do we know what God's, how do we hear, listen, what God's asking? I'm going to give you the three P's. First, prayer. This is for all of us, even the little ones. Even when you're, as you're, what God wants from prayer. Since every calling comes from God, we'll make it a very hard on ourselves to figure it out if we don't relate with God. We don't ask Him, speak with Him, listen to Him. A healthy life of prayer is the best ally in discerning our personal calling. Just simply asking and listening and following. I mentioned this before, but when I was in college, one priest gave a homily and he said, talking about vocation, and he said, pray one Hail Mary every day before you go to bed to hear God's call. And then two Hail Marys to have the guts to do it. And I like that. I started praying my three Hail Marys before going to bed, right? To hear it, and then it accents that courage necessary to respond. Second, besides prayer, is striving for purpose and, dare I say, perfection in the Christian understanding of perfection. We have to strive for perfection in all we do. I say strive for. Obviously, in this fallen world with our limitations, we're never going to achieve fully that perfection, but we can strive for it and experience the beauty and the fulfillment of pursuing things that are big and beautiful and good, right? Pursuing perfection starts at home, right? Being the best, whatever, son, daughter, brother, sister, spouse, right? And it extends into everything, friendships, chores, homework, work, what we do, extracurricular, service, volunteer, everything, developing the habit of giving our best at all times in pursuit of things that are really worthy. Striving for purpose and perfection. Without that readiness, that interior desire, and that kind of skill and habit to always opt in that direction, we may end up tuning out God's voice, which is always calling us towards something of that. Any vocation, any of the four, is always a striving for something great and beautiful and others-centered, right? It's not just, as I said, about what makes me happy, but what God is calling me to that will make me happy. The third P is parish, or my people. Now, we can't discern alone. It gives us parents, patrons, you know, people around us, parish, that give us good advice, guidance, sincere kind of recommendation of what they should do. I remember when I was trying to declare a major at the university after a couple years of volunteering, And I went to the psych department and took an interest survey, and they kind of help you decide your vocation, and got my top 10 lists of careers or professions where I would be happy according to this test. And I remember the professor had his TA there reading to me my results and giving me some advice. And then she left and the psychologist remained there. And he said, hey, if you want, I could give you off record kind of state goal I can't really give you. I could give my personal opinion if you want to hear it. I said, well, yeah, what's your personal opinion? He said, maybe you're called, he said, religion's important to you. Yeah, religion's important. He said, maybe you should consider being a professional in your religious denomination. Right? And he said, so what are you? I said, I'm Catholic. Oh, you, those are the ones that don't get married, right? He said, oh, sorry. So mentors, people around us who give us good advice, right? Third part is the goal of our calling. So know our calling. Besides this fact, knowing it and pursuing it, that goal is our happiness, is our holiness as well. God wants each one of us to thrive, to not just survive, to be great, to be wonderful, fulfilled, engaged, energetic, happy, right? That's what he wants for us. Certainly he knows that what gives us that isn't always the most sensually easy, because he knows the nobility he's placed in our heart, and what really resonates with our souls and gives full purpose is sometimes something that costs a little bit. And because he loves us too much, he doesn't want to sell us short. Oftentimes when we're thinking of vocation, God's call, it's like, oh no, what's he gonna ask me? How difficult is it gonna be? Right, we focus, and that's where the devil wants us to focus. We should be thinking, wow, what is it? This is going to be great, amazing, impactful, meaningful, great for me. Fourth part is just fulfilling that mission. Once you know it, once you hear it, the fourth thing is to know about our calling and then how to fulfill it, especially in deepening our relationships and communion with God. This is actually the simplest part, though not always the easiest. Each one of us, loved and called by God from the very beginning of our existence, are called to fulfill life's calling by following the footsteps of Jesus. This is what Jesus came to earth on his first Christmas, to be our guide and companion along the path of life. That's why the celebration of Christmas, which we've been preparing for all throughout Advent, is so central to the Catholic faith. It reminds us, we don't have to invent the meaning of life all by ourselves. We don't have to figure out what we're here for. We just have to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow wherever he leads. He's our shepherd. He's the one who comes down to reveal it to us. He's our example of every virtue. He's the one who went first and said, here I am, come to do your will. He's our fellow traveler who's gone before us and can guide us on the way. So as we continue with this Mass, let's thank God for creating us, giving each one of us a unique, personal, perfect path to happiness when he created us, giving us that mission. Let's ask God to prepare our hearts, open our hearts, even change our hearts if needed, to believe in that, to believe in ourselves enough that God could want something great for me. And then open our hearts in prayer during this Mass that God speak to us and continue to reveal that path that he has for each of us. Amen.